Well, the author of the book that was the basis for the Mean Girls movie told an Iowa audience that the nation's democracy will suffer if the epidemic of bullying isn't stopped. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Rosalind Wiseman wrote Queen Bees as a guidebook for parents trying to help their child navigate cliques and gossip from their peers. Wiseman was a featured speaker at yesterday's statewide anti-bullying summit in Des Moines. She asked the crowd of educators, parents, and students to put aside the word bullying, suggesting the core issues were social justice and dignity. Wiseman urged the adults in the room to become the personification of ethical leadership, making it clear what kind of language and behavior is not acceptable.
These children are our sacred responsibilities, not only their brains, but their hearts and their bodies.
But Wiseman also cautioned adults not to bully back when they confront a kid who has said or done something objectionable. She said it's often the second hit that gets noticed rather than the first. I'm O.K. Henderson.
The Iowa Board of Regents has hired an employee of a board member's business to a key post without publicly advertising the position. Joe Murphy worked for the regent Bruce Rastetter's business before board executive director Robert Donnelly hired Murphy as a state relations officer for Iowa State University earlier this month. Donnelly sent a statement to the Associated Press earlier this week acknowledging that he didn't conduct a search for the position, unlike when he filled a similar job for the University of Northern Iowa last year. Donnelly says he needed to hire someone quickly because of the upcoming legislative session, and Murphy came to mind because he did a good job when he held the same position at UNI. Rastetter said Tuesday that he had nothing to do with Murphy's appointment. The three state-supported universities are asking the governor for $75 million for so-called deferred maintenance. Basic upkeep of buildings and grounds has been put off because of tight budgets. The president of the Board of Regents says the amount they're requesting is a drop in a bucket compared to the actual need. Craig Lang says it would take $500 million to address all the deferred maintenance on the campus.
This is a number that we're aware of. And if it does not hinder student safety and those kind of things, we can put off to the next year. But it's a large number out there that we're really concerned about on our university campuses.
Lang says University of Iowa, ISU, and University of Northern Iowa may need to create a special fund for maintaining buildings and grounds.
I think it's something that all government levels you work at from one year to the next, that you need to be aware of that, and you need to put away money to take care of that someday in the future. But if it does not get in the way of student safety, then many times it is put off.
UNI President Ben Allen told the governor and his advisors that his campus has reduced the list of deferred maintenance projects by closing buildings altogether. And this year's request includes sprinkler systems for fire protection that are required by state code. And finally, in state news, a popular low-cost bus company that carries passengers between Des Moines, Iowa City, and Chicago ranks near the bottom of all motor carriers for driver fatigue. Mega Bus, which is known for its blue double-decker bus styles and fares as low as $1, ranked worse than nearly 80% of 19,636 carriers, according to scores from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Tim Brown, a research scientist with the University of Iowa-based National Advanced Driving Simulator, says that driver fatigue is a condition that has similar effects to drunken driving.
And we've done some work looking at alcohol and drowsiness, and they tend to impair the same sorts of vehicle controls, but they do it in different ways.
Megabus is especially popular with students at the University of Iowa. Megabus spokesperson Mike Alvick characterized most of the Megabus log violations since 2010 as administrative errors and said the company is working to make sure the drivers understand the rules.
We've only perhaps had one driver taken out because of a violation of service due to a fatigue issue. All the rest of the entries into that driver fatigue category are on the administrative side.
The federal government limits bus and truck drivers to 10 hours of driving before 8 hours of rest. Megabus requires drivers to take 9 hours of rest between shifts. Alvick said that Megabus also assigned two drivers to overnight routes. The company is considering an electronic system that would automatically log miles through GPS. Megabus drivers have had 6 log violations since August of 2010, 4 speeding citations, and several other moving violations. A Megabus driver was convicted of drunken driving after the Iowa State Patrol spotted him weaving on Interstate 80 while carrying 77 passengers from Chicago to Iowa City in October of 2011. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Barack Obama will meet today with middle-class Americans and then key business executives in an effort to push his plan to avert a fiscal cliff in January. But deep divisions remain among the White House, Senate Democrats, and Republicans on how to stop the economy, damaging series of automatic tax increases and spending cuts. U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice will be on Capitol Hill again today to meet with more Republican senators whose support she may need if she's nominated to be Secretary of State. Yesterday, Rice met with three key GOP senators who signaled they would try to scuttle a nomination. They said they found even more troubling her explanation as to why she didn't at first say the attack on a U.S. consulate in Libya was carried out by terrorists. Palestinians are urging the U.S. to drop its opposition to their bid to seek U.N. recognition of Palestine in Israel-occupied lands. Anan Ashrawi, a Palestinian spokeswoman, says the bid is a last-ditch attempt to rescue the troubled Middle East peace efforts. Ashrawi calls Washington's stance pathetic and harmful to American interests in the Arab world. Egypt's highest appeals court has suspended its work nationwide to protest President Mohamed Morsi's decrees that return him near absolute power. Egyptian state TV said the judges won't return to work until Morsi rescinds those decrees. And there's a $500 million jackpot in tonight's Powerball drawing, the second highest in lottery history. But past winners of lotteries say having a ton of money doesn't mean the end of one's problems. A West Virginia man who's won $315 million a decade ago blames the windfall for his granddaughter's fatal drug overdose, his divorce, and hundreds of lawsuits. Sandra Hayes, who split $224 million with a dozen co-workers back in 2006, says, "If you're not disciplined, you will go broke. I don't care how much money you have." News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcement, Sandra K. Miller, age 74, of Bennington, Nebraska, died Saturday at Emanuel Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Sandra Miller will be today at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Evelyn Corey, age 99, of Panora, died Sunday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Services for Evelyn Corey will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Donald Grable, age 78, of Milford, died Saturday. Memorial services for Donald Grable will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First Lutheran Church in Milford. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dwayne Darnold, age 80, of Atlantic and formerly of Villisca, died November 4th at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Dwayne Darnold will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the Wolf Funeral Home in Villisca. Ella Lauritsen, age 70, of Exira, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Ella Lauritsen will be on Friday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Catherine Goebbels, age 90, of Harlan, died Friday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Catherine Goebbels will be held Friday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Rich Robinson, age 69, of Spring Hill, Kansas, died November 21st. Memorial services for Rich Robinson will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Shelby Methodist Church. Bob Jamison, Jr., age 62, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday at the Adair County Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Bob Jamison, Jr. are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Dallas Westphalen, age 76, of Rural Atlantic, died Tuesday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Dallas Westphalen will be held at the First Baptist Church in Atlantic, with a date and time currently pending. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Cleo Larby, age 87, of Colorado and formerly of Manning, died Monday in Colorado. Services for Cleo Larby are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manila. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.